This is Father David Celery with this week's focus, God Bothering. Dear friends, this is one of those rich gospels that takes us, well, in so many different fruitful directions. You see, there's the distinction Jesus draws between man-made dietary rules and God's eternal law of love. There's the courage of the Canaanite woman in the face of institutional prejudice. There's Jesus signaling the opening of God's kingdom to all people. But before we explore these timeless issues, let's look at a lesson that has immediate impact on our lives, the power of prayer. God bothering. You see, it's a sarcastic description of prayer that worked its way into the English language in the 19th century. While it was coined as a nasty put-down, it seems particularly appropriate when applied to this colloquy between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. In her persistent appeals to Jesus, she's, well, literally God-bothering. As they say in Yiddish, she's a nudge, a mega pest, a super nagger. But she's more than that. You see, she's on a mission to save her daughter, and she won't be brushed off by the disciples or overawed by Jesus. She believes only Jesus can save her daughter, and she won't stop petitioning him, bothering him, until he does. How very much like our own lives of prayer. You see, we live in nodding acquaintance with God. Well, until there's a crisis. Then all of a sudden, we start praying up a storm. Petitions pour forth. In our desperation, we promise God, well, all sorts of things. Please, Lord, solve this problem, and I'll do this for you. Cure this illness, and I'll never do that again. The crisis will pass, or it won't. Our promises will be kept, or they won't. But whatever the outcome, our prayer, our intimate conversation with God, well, it contains an answer in and of itself. You see, it acknowledges our total dependence on our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Beyond the immediate crisis, simply living in the reality of our dependence on God, actively seeking His will, puts life's problems into a manageable perspective. You see, the Canaanite woman isn't interested in perspective. She wants action, and she wants it now. In response, Jesus draws her into dialogue. He's not the Johnny Appleseed of miracles, strewing them randomly everywhere he goes. His time is short. His mission, well, it's massive. His every public moment is a teachable event. And he uses this moment to teach the disciples that God rewards faith wherever it's found. Christ's every miracle, it's a deliberate life lesson, always proving his divinity, always demonstrating his compassion, and sometimes, as on this occasion, giving insight into the new covenant. You see, Jesus is the embodiment of the new covenant, preaching to the faithful of the old covenant. Too often, I think their image of God is tribal, and yes, very, very vengeful. Their relationship with God is shaped by strict adherence to rules governing every aspect of life. Among those rules is a prohibition against speaking with an unrelated woman and a codified contempt for Gentiles. Jesus breaks rules by engaging the Canaanite women. And here's the point long contested by theologians. Was Christ's initial rejection of the woman a manifestation of his human nature, formed over years within the strictures of his people? Or was it Christ's divine nature, knowing where this encounter was headed, wanting to dramatize the coming of the new covenant? Or perhaps it was a hybrid, first rejecting, then embracing, reflecting the dual nature of Jesus. My friends, whatever the interpretation, the results are the same. Christ hears and answers her prayer. Her faith and courage are rewarded. And more significantly, Jesus opens the door to salvation a little wider, welcoming more and different people than ever envisioned by Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. The faith of the Canaanite woman is part of a continuum of converted outsiders and outcasts. The Roman centurion, the Samaritan, the woman taken in adultery, the lepers, appropriately all documented by Matthew, the despised tax collector. Obviously, this is a gospel about the power of prayer and the inherent worth of women. But beyond that, this is a gospel of God's love available for the asking to every one of His children, every tribe, every race, every color, every sex. Yes, every sexual orientation, the young, the old, the saints and the sinners, the exalted and the lowly. The Canaanite woman cries out, "Lord, help me." That says it all. It acknowledges the divine power of Jesus. It voices our total dependence on God in petition, in contrition, in thanksgiving, in adoration, in joy, and in sorrow. Our loving God invites you and me and all of His children to call on Him, to pray to Him, to bother Him anytime, anywhere, anyhow. He always listens and He always answers. This has been Father David Celery with this week's Focus. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.